Virginia Smith. We're very grateful to both Virginia and Heather.
Good morning. I'd just like to echo Ali and Simon's thank you to Virginia for preparing these words. And before I share them with you, shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take these words and touch our minds and hearts today, that you would bring us hope and assure us afresh of your love and your presence with us in every circumstance. Amen. Suffering. Unjust and unmerited suffering is always a huge theological problem. And I have several books on my shelves on the subject, books which wrestle with why suffering and how do we find the presence of God at the heart of that suffering. The relentless and horrifying news of the daily and almost unimaginable suffering of the people of Ukraine yet again causes us to wonder at just how such inhumanity to man can still happen. How is it that we never learn the history of wars and their outcomes? How is it that we continue to devise more and more unspeakably damaging weaponry to create a reign of terror on those to whom it is directed? The people of Ukraine are, like all people everywhere, a hodgepodge of the good and the bad, of saints and sinners. Just maybe there are some whose deeply troubled consciences recognize that they merit the suffering that they are now experiencing. But the vast overwhelming majority will recognize that simply because of the power lust of one man and his ability to call upon an army equipped with every possible weapon of modern warfare, they are suffering. Suffering in a way that is barely credible to us as we go on living our lives, where the water and the electricity still function, where the shelves in the food stores remain well stocked, and if we need it, medical help is always at hand for us. And please do not think I'm being horribly pious, but every morning as I wake in the comfort of my bedroom and then go to wash away the marks of contented, undisturbed sleep, I do give profound thanks for such blessings as I remember the victims of the evil that Putin has unleashed upon his neighbours. We've all known suffering, be it the physical suffering of some part of our body or the mental suffering of grief or abandonment, of depression and of fear and hopelessness. And of course, there's the suffering we experience as we watch helplessly the suffering of others. And sometimes I think in an extraordinary way, this can be the hardest suffering of all, simply because of its impotency. The suffering of the Ukrainian people is all of these as they experience homelessness, starvation, injury, and on top of all this, grief, the loss of all that is familiar and safe, and the fear and feelings of utter hopelessness for the future. Where is God in all this? Where is God when we too suffer? The answer was given by a survivor of Auschwitz, Hugo Grin, who, when asked the same question, replied, "I believe that God was there himself, violated and blasphemed. The real question is, where was man in Auschwitz?" In similar vein, Peter Longson writes, "That's where we find God, in the dirt, in the blood and the dirt." God does not cause suffering. He does not make war with us. He does not shower us with the weapons of death. He does not deliberately take our loved ones from us or cause their cancers or their heart attacks. And we must be very clear about this. We may mistakenly ascribe to God the power to cause suffering, but that is only to make excuses for ourselves. Suffering comes about because God has given us free will and a limited earthly life. And as a consequence, we experience suffering either because of our abject failure as humans to love God and our neighbours, or because our bodies and indeed our minds are not perfect and are subject to disease, and especially as we age, a failure to work as we would like them to do. But if God does not cause suffering, there's no doubt in my mind that, like Hugo Grin and Peter Longson, I believe God is right there beside us in that time of trial and agony. And for some sort of proof of such a claim, we only have to look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, he was there beside the suffering, bringing the comfort of his healing touch, his healing words. He was there for the young and the old. He was there for the Jew and the Gentile. He was there for the leper and for the sinner. He was there for the mentally ill and deranged. He was there for those who suffered both hunger and thirst. Above all, he was there when, as he suffered his own excruciating death on the cross, he brought comfort to the thief dying in agony beside him, and to his own mother as she stood at the foot of the cross as a sword of suffering pierced her soul. In sending his own son to live among us, to die for us, God surely knew just what it meant to suffer, just what it meant to feel alone and abandoned, as witnessed by that terrible cry of Jesus, my God, why have you abandoned me? A cry surely echoed down the centuries by those whose suffering is almost too great to bear. A cry surely heard again and again in the beleaguered cities of Ukraine and by those forced from their homes and all that is familiar. And yet, we are assured that God never abandons us and that he truly is there in our suffering. Our times when we walk, or rather stumble, through those dark valleys of death, where we feel ourselves to have lost all that has brought blessing into our lives, and in their place left us alone in valleys of blackest despair and hopelessness. Malcolm Geet confirms this in these words. From the beginning of creation, God had foreseen the sorrow our misused freedom might bring, and chosen from the beginning and in that knowledge to share with us the consequences of our own mistakes, that he might redeem us from them. And one last question. How easily do we allow the suffering of others to fade from our consciences? As the tragedy of the war in Ukraine continues, I notice that less time is now devoted to it on the news, and often it's not even the headline news. And yet, with each day that the war, or special military operation, as Putin euphemistically chooses to call it, continues to be waged, the suffering does not diminish, but increases. Are we allowing ourselves to continue to be acutely conscious of this? Or have we turned aside, sated with relentless bad news, to find something more cheerful to lift our spirits? Jesus never turned aside from suffering. He never sought out just the company of the healthy and prosperous. In fact, quite the opposite. When pinned in utter helplessness to that cross, he could have asked God's angels to release him, but that was not God's plan. God's plan was to show that he understood the deepest depths of human suffering and that he would never turn away, never abandon those who suffer. Surely we are called to do the same, to walk for however long is required with those of God's children who need us beside them in their hour of need. However wearying, however demanding this may be. And this call is echoed in this prayer poem by Peter Longston. God came in Christ to share the dark with us. To all who need him now in this day's dark, he comes again. He comes again. And soft, he comes again, wearing the life of all who are willing to do as he did and to share the dark. In this way, together, we begin to make God's music. Amen.